Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Morning. It's amazing, right? God is so good, right? So we're gonna praise Him together. Awesome. So sing this with me. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. And no matter the attack, I won't turn back. Cause this means war. This means war. This means war. This means war. Come on, let's sing that verse again. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. And no matter the attack, I won't turn back. Cause this means war. This means war. Yeah, come on and sing that out. This means war. This means war. Come on, let's sing, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I want to hear you sing it.
I plead the blood.
Come on, you got to sound amazing.
I plead the blood.
Come on, this is a declaration.
I plead the blood.
I got joy. I got joy in my soul. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. And no matter the attack, I won't turn back.
Cause this means war. This means war.
Yeah, come on and sing it out.
This means war. This means war.
Let's sing, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
Yeah. You can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
No, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have. Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't, you can't. This means war. This means war. Yeah, I love it. This means war. This means war. Come on, let's sing, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Over my finances, come on.
I plead the blood.
Over my family's health, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Hey, sing, you can't have my money.
You can't have my money.
No, you can't have my healing.
You can't have my healing.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Come on, sing it out. Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my family. No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Hey, sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't, this means war. This means war. Hey, this means war. This means war. Come on, let's plead the blood.
I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Yeah. I plead the blood.
Come on and sing. I plead the blood.
I plead, yeah. I plead the blood.
'Cause this means war. This means war. This means war. This means war.
Come on and give God a shout if you believe it.
Now, come on, let this shout make war. Let this shout make war. If you've been going through anything, all it takes is a sound to create a difference. So come on, come on, give God another shout. Come on, give God another shout.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Does he deserve it? Does he deserve all the glory, all the honor, and all the power forever? Come on, if you believe it, just sing it out. You deserve it. Just shout it. You deserve it, Jesus. Come on, you deserve it, Jesus. All right, then sing this with me.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, let me hear you sing it.
Sing it out. mountain, Lord of the glory. Hey, it belongs to you, all of the glory, Lord. Yeah, it belongs to you.
Hallelujah. Sing all of the glory.
All of the glory belongs to you.
Not just sing it out, you deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Come on, with everything you have, sing you deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
And sing hallelujah.
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 Sing hallelujah.
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 And all it's hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And all the glory.
All the glory.
And all the honor.
All the honor.
Sing all of my praise.
All of praise.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You come on, just sing it out, just worship.
You deserve it.
Let him hear your voice.
You deserve it.
Yes, God,
you're worthy of all of our praise. But you deserve it all.
Come on, still sing that out, just sing it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve
yeah.
it.
Sing, you deserve it all.
Deserve
come on.
It.
And sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And all the glory.
All
I give you all. If you feel like you can't sing, just give God a shout. Because all it takes is a noise to change your situation. Hallelujah. So all you gotta say is, Jesus, you deserve it. Hallelujah. You deserve it all.
Whoa.
Song. Let me hear you sing it. And sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's hallelujah.
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 Come on and shout a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And all the glory.
All the glory.
You deserve all the power.
All the
and all the praise.
You deserve it.
Come on.
You deserve it.
Hey, sing it out.
You deserve it. Yes, you deserve it. And you deserve it. You deserve it.
Thank you, God. Give God a shout. Come on. Come on, give God a shout like he deserves it.
My sin was great, your love was greater.
Sing, I will. I will exalt you. I will exalt you. I will exalt you. Sing my hiding place. My hiding place, my safe refuge, my treasure, Lord, you are my friend. Sing, I will. I will exalt.
exalt you. Oh, every day I will exalt your name. Yes, I will exalt your name, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. To you are, you are, you are my God. Come on, let's sing that again. Sing, I will. I will exalt you. Sing, I will exalt you.
Stop worshiping. Don't stop worshiping. Talk to him. Love on him. He's here this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you're present in this place. God, there's no need for us to even have church without you. God, we thank you that you inhabit the very praises of your people. That this morning, Holy Spirit, you're moving in amongst us, touching us, changing us. Lord, let us have the heart of the woman with the issue of blood that says, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Lord, I pray for a fresh tenacity in the Spirit in Jesus' name. That, Lord, we'll want you more than we want anything else on this planet. Holy Spirit, we know that you can birth that in us. We ask that you do that supernatural work because only you, Jesus, matters. When everything is said and done, when our last breath is taken and we leave this planet, the only thing that's going to remain is what we've made in relationship with you. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we will have a close walk with you. We can sing this song and be more than words. But, Lord, it will rapture us in your presence. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We not only need you, we want you. We want you. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we worship you. Someone's having bowel problems, just equal with the belly button over to the right-hand side, about 4 to 5 inches. God's healing you right now. You'll feel that release in Jesus' name. No more pain. God, we curse the cause of it in the name of Christ. We command healing to be had in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you that this morning. Hallelujah. There's an individual here under your right armpit. Your lymph nodes have been swollen and it's a little painful. If you put your hand on it, you'll feel it actually go back to normal because the anointing is getting ready to rush right through your physical body in the name of Jesus. I speak to the lymph node system and I command you right now in Jesus' name to be healed. We curse the cause in the name of Jesus. Go. In Jesus' name. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We do. We thank you so much. You're here. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. God just so wants to move. He wants to move. Come on, just start loving on him right now. Start loving. He's not done. He just wants to keep, he wants to rapture you this morning. He wants to touch you this morning. Come on, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for your voice. He's waiting for your love. I don't know what happened today. It really doesn't matter. This is your now. Jesus, we love you. I worship you, Lord. Thank you.
Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, I worship you, Lord. Here comes the anointing. Release you together. Go. Push the half of the back, Father. Go. Push the part, ten. Dish now. I worship you, Lord.
Some of you don't know what to do, and that's okay. This is all about growing. You know, the Holy Spirit, He just longs to touch your life. Sometimes it takes us a little bit longer to get out of ourselves. You know what I'm talking about? Some of us, we can do it after one song. That's why we usually do a kicking song to start, just to get your focus back on Jesus. But you know, there's a time when you actually, watch now, and you've seen me talk about it before, where you step in. When you step in, man, it changes everything. The literal physical sensations around you change because you've made a conscious choice to step into the presence of God instead of watching from out here. Remember, when the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus, all the other people were bumping up against him but got nothing. It wasn't until she pressed in. If I can just touch, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. We can watch and never get. That's why two people standing next to each other in church, one walks away, wow, and the other goes, what? Same location, different heart. You see, I'm just the kind of person, man, where I hate wasting time. I want God because I realized a long time ago, man, it's all I got really. You know, you can get all the stuff and you still got nothing. But you get a hold of Jesus and you got it all. When you got Jesus, you got it all. But what happens is this, is that after a while, you've been saved for a bit. You know, you're really genuine. You love Jesus. You're saved for a bit. And then life gets crazy. Problems start happening. And then you're just like the other people, bumping up against him. You used to press in. Now you're watching. I don't mind watching sometimes. Sometimes watching is pretty cool. But man, it's nothing like getting touched. When all of a sudden, the dunamis, the supernatural, starts surging through the place and touches your physical body, your heart, your mind, your situation, everything changes. I don't know. Maybe I'm just strange. I just refuse to be a watcher. I kick things, you know, get out of my way. Because I want God, and that's really all that matters. We are going to have to move on. simply because Ithaca, our Ithaca campus, is going to be tuning in with us for the sermon. And they don't worship this long. So there's, I know Pastor Chad is up there pacing right now. No, really. He's figuring what he's going to say. What is he going to say? Because now we're already 10 minutes, 15, almost 15 minutes over our normal time of praise and worship. And I know he's walking back and forth. What's wrong with my father? What's wrong with my father? Can't he figure it out? We're up here. So do me a favor. Why don't you go find five people you don't know and say, I got God. Come on now. Go tell somebody, I got Jesus. Come on, go tell somebody, I got Jesus. Come on, don't be a snob this morning. Steve Grant, get out of your chair and go find somebody.
Hey, parents, are you over-coddling your child? Are you having issues within your family and raising your children? Listen, we got the class just for you in Step 2. Starting June 12th, we're having a family and parenting class at 7 p.m. for the next 8 weeks. Make sure you come out and learn how to be a godly parent and raise up a godly family. We'll see you June 12th, 7 p.m.
We're starting our annual baby bottle drive. What we do is we take the bottles home, fill it with your change, and then bring it back. All donations will go directly to the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center. If you'd like to see how they impact the community, they have statistics right out the hub. So grab a baby bottle and help make a difference.
Featuring this week, Schuyler County Group with Dave and Charlene Pruitt.
So excited. So please come out afterwards on this side of the building for our guest reception. It's going to be a great time for us to get to know you a little bit more and just want to just say thank you. There are so many churches you could have chose today, but you chose ours. So we want to thank you. Live stream, we want to welcome you as well. And we also want to welcome His Tabernacle Ithaca Campus. You guys are awesome for tuning in today. It's going to be a phenomenal service. As you guys have heard, we have groups going on. Who here is involved in a group right now, actively? Awesome, awesome. If you are not involved in a group, you are crazy. You've got to get involved and get plugged in. We want to live life with you, all right? So there are so many groups going on from Monday all the way through Sunday across different counties, different places, kid-friendly, pet-friendly, any type of friendly you may want, we have a place for you. So if you'd like to join a group, please go and look into our bulletin or go meet us at the hub. We'd be more than happy to get you signed up for a group. Amen? As this is our Memorial Day weekend, we also want to take some time and honor all of the veterans in the house. So we have a quick video for you all.
All right, if you would all remain standing for the singing of the national anthem, there is a flag in the back corner. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Hallelujah. If you are in the armed forces or were in the armed forces, if you could remain standing, we just want to say thank you so much. If you're in the room and you're in the armed forces, were in the armed forces, thank you so much. Honestly, I'm able to stand up here today because of your service. Ryan English, we don't want to forget Uncle Ryan. Honestly, in other countries right now, if we were doing what we were doing right here, they'd be busting in the doors and throwing me in prison and putting you in jail. We live in the greatest country of the world. And I know a lot of people don't like the country. They don't like the president. They don't like what things are being done. But whether you like it or not, we still live in the greatest country on the entire planet. And we're a very blessed nation. And I just thank God that we can stand here today and worship our God without worrying about somebody busting through the door. In Puerto Rico, in Cuba, what they do, and Brother Chico Hernandez from Mexico and Cuba was telling me this, is that in Cuba, what they do is they're not allowed to have church like this. They have house churches. And when the house church, they take all the walls down. Take all the walls down, and they have church. But when the church starts getting too full, the government sends people to watch them. And when the government thinks that there's too much power, too many people getting saved, they take the pastor and throw him in prison, and then the church disperses and goes and finds new house homes to build and to strengthen. So we live in a phenomenal country. And I just want to say thank you to all those who have served. Can we give one more hand clap this morning? Pastor Rhonda.
Good morning. Are you ready to give this morning? This is one of my favorite times of the service when we can continue honoring God with our worship, with our finances. So if you're ready to give in this house, I'd love for you to stand to your feet. We just want to say thank you to everyone that gives so that this house has enough for every good work. It is such a joy to be able to do good work all around our community. We have so much going on. We just did the bike blessing, and we have the parades tomorrow. We love being in our community outside these four walls, loving on people. That's what we're able to do because of your faithful giving. So if you're ready this morning, we're going to make our supernatural declaration. And this is simply the word of God, and we repeat it, and then we bring our offerings forward to the Lord. So repeat after me. If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can give right along with us. Click on the giving button or text to give.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
Cause this means war. This means war. This means war. This means war.
I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray.
No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Cause this means war.
This means war. This means war.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. We want to welcome the Ithaca campus. We want to apologize to the Ithaca campus in a sense. We don't want to apologize. We had a great move of the Holy Spirit in worship, but we want to say we're sorry that we're late in bringing you in. And so can you give the Ithaca campus a hand clap this morning? Welcome your family. We've been blessed pretty much every week. They're running right in the vicinity of about 70-plus people. It was just no more than a few months ago that we stepped in there, and they had 21. And so we've seen great growth, and we haven't even launched the church yet, which is very exciting. We're going to be launching it in July, and we'll probably ask you to help us. Is that all right? We'll go up and have a big block party and just welcome all the folks from Ithaca and get them in the house of God. And so I just want to welcome, again, the family in Ithaca. I was just there on Thursday night teaching Rock Solid Faith, and I'd love to have you, everybody, if you could, come out to Rock Solid Faith. Step one, everybody shout, step one.
Step one.
Oh, you can do better than that. Step one. Step one is Rock Solid Faith. I'd encourage you to join Rock Solid Faith. Everybody in this room should be in Rock Solid Faith. What is Rock Solid Faith? It is our foundational declaration. And let me tell you, when you're done, you get a cap and gown graduation, and we give you a certificate, and you deserve it. Because when you're done, actually, sadly enough, you know more than most pastors. A lot of pastors in our region are uneducated, and we're not knocking them. But, Lamb, I don't know about you. I want to know what I'm talking about. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
So when you go through Rock Solid Faith, you end, and it takes almost a year, you end with knowing what you're talking about. And that's important. Ignorance is not bliss. Can I hear an amen or oh my?
Amen.
This is the year of?
Amen.
Oh, that's so sad. I can't hear you in Ithaca. Come on, shout it out loud. This is the year of?
Amen.
Well, come on, I still can't hear Ithaca. I said, this is the year of? Divine connections. That is when God connects you. The Word of God is a connection for us. God Himself, with relationship, is a connection for us. The Holy Spirit is a connection for us. You know, we talked about the church being a connection divinely placed in our life for us. And you know, today I want to start talking about something that is very powerful. You see, if there is a divine connection, we know that the enemy of our soul is striving for the opposite, which is called a diabolical disconnection. You need to know that the enemy hates you. And whatever God has called good, whatever God has placed in your life to bring you to your today so that you can live successful for the rest of your life and be blessed to the position of fulfilling God's destiny and purpose for your life, you must know that the enemy does not want you to acquire your blessing. So you need to know that he's constantly trying to destroy you. He doesn't run around with a little red suit and a pitchfork. He's wise. He's sneaky. He's sly. How many of you remember that old song, "The Devil is a Sly Old Fox"? I'm just seeing how many old folk we got in the house this morning. How many remember that devil is a sly old fox? Oh, if you don't know, I'll teach it to you this morning. Very rarely do I sing, but this is one I can get away with. Ready? The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd stuff him in a box. I'd lock the box and throw away the key for all those things he's done to me. Okay, everybody got it? Let's practice now. The devil is, listen, I don't see y'all singing now, and I don't sing well, so if I can sing, you can sing. Ready? The devil is a sly old fox. You got to snatch him now. If I could snatch him, I'd stuff him in a box. I'd lock the box and throw away the key for all those things he's done to me. You see, the problem is you can't snatch him and throw him in a box. He's already been defeated. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But the fact is that if we're not wise to the devil's devices, as it says in Corinthians, it's very easy to slide into a position where we have a diabolical disconnection happen in our life, which will break us from God's blessing for what he has for us. There's a necessity to pay attention, a necessity to be aware, a necessity to stand up and say, I am not going to be foolish. I am not going to be unwise. I'm going to pay attention to a diabolical disconnection that is being strived to appear in my life. When you do that, you know that you're positioning yourself so that you cannot be tripped up. Now, you see, some of the worst things I've ever seen are people that once started serving God. They were once passionate for God. They were driven in their relationship with the Lord. And then a diabolical disconnection, whether it be that you got offended, whether it be that you got your feelings hurt, whether it be that you didn't like the preacher, whether it be, we can go through the list of things that might be. But the truth is, if it's a diabolical disconnection, then you've separated yourself from God's blessing in your life. We've got to pay attention because he's after to destroy your life. How do we know that? John 10:10. The devil's come that you might, excuse me. The devil has come, the enemy's come that to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and life. No. It doesn't say abundant life. That you might have a more abundant life. That means abundance is phenomenal. How many of you like abundance? Everybody else is a liar. Amen. Well, I just want to be conservative. No, you don't. How many of you love abundant life? Jesus said he doesn't even have that for you. He has more than abundant. He has greater, more than your mind could even understand or even conceive. He has great things for you. What you can't even imagine, he has prepared for those who love him. It's time to recognize that this diabolical disconnection has already been occurring within the body of Christ and within the generations across this planet. And I'm going to show you that today, that he has had a plan to destroy the great harvest of the end times. And it's a plot that the church has fell into, the world has fell into, and it's time for the church to shake themselves, get up, and recognize, start running, and fulfilling God's purpose for their lives. Can I hear an amen? Our verse for the year is found in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and it says this, and he went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. You see, God wants to work with you. He doesn't want you just to come to church. This is not about you becoming religious. It's not about you just going to heaven. If you were saved just to go to heaven, the day you got saved, you died. Can't grow a church that way. All of a sudden, you get born again. Well, I want Jesus. You get saved, boom, you drop dead. How many of you want to get saved? Well, I mean, it wouldn't be encouraging if you really weren't sure what's going on. Hey, go to that church, you die. As a believer, you're not saved just to go to heaven. That's the cherry on top. You're saved because God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. He has a destiny for your life. And when you wrap a hold of God's purpose, then you can run the race to win. And you see, a lot of people say this to me. They say, Pastor, I'm just not sure what the will of God for my life is. Well, I'm going to answer that question today. How do you like that? Turn to someone and say, he's going to answer that question today. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 13, verse 35. I want to talk to you how this diabolical disconnection is happening within the world. John, chapter 13, verse 35, and it says this. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. There's another verse. It's found in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1 and 5. And it actually shows the situation that the church world is sitting in today. It shows the place that we are in the end times. You know, a lot of people have said, well, you know, they've been talking about end times for all these years and nothing's really changed. But I want to remind you that the Ark of the Covenant was recently purchased from Turkey and brought back to Israel. I want to also remind you that what occurred is that the 70-year anniversary of Israel becoming a nation has occurred. This generation shall not pass away before they see the coming of the Lord. We can look at all the signs of the time, and Jesus talked to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, you can look at the sky and know what tomorrow is going to be, and he's talking about the end times. We are in the end times. And the greatest excitement about being part of the church of the end times is being part of the great harvest of the end time. You see, we are called to be harvesters. We are seeders and we are harvesters. God has placed us on this planet to produce fruit. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You see, God wants to move in our lives and transform us from being religious folk to get us into the place of understanding why we're here. So here the signs of the times are very clear. When I read this, you're just going to go, yep, I got you. Here we go. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. We have never seen it like we've seen it now. We have never seen people that are so selfish, so self-driven. Now, we know that the Word of God declares that the two greatest commandments is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But we have a lot of folks that are loving themselves but doing nothing with their neighbor. This is a real issue. Because when we lose sight of why we're here, then what occurs is we stop loving people. We're in a generation right now where people have stopped loving people. We love things, but we don't love people the way we used to. And there must be a revelation, there must be a revival, there must be an outpouring of God's love within our heart so that that verse found in the book of John can come true again, and that is, they will know that you are my kids because of the love that you have for one another. You see, this disconnection, this diabolical disconnection is not that real showy thing. It's sneaky, and I'm going to show it to you. It's really interesting when we start breaking it down how this disconnection that the devil has done is not just in the church, but it's literally generational. It's literally across the planet. And right now, nobody can even identify. They're not identifying it. So we're allowing it to continue. And what's happening is it's going to destroy the harvest for the last days. How is that even feasible? Because God said the harvest is already ready. It's ripe unto harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. But if they're disconnected laborers, they'll never love enough to go outside and share the gospel. When you start talking about generations, you start talking about the millennials. I love the millennials. Most of my staff are millennials. Pastor Dan is really the older guy besides Pastor Banfield. He's getting elderly at 37. Oh, you're 38 now? You're 40? Oh. He's getting up there. It's been very interesting pastoring as most of my staff are millennials. I'm learning that they're crazy, man. They're just nuts. That really, as not a millennial, I'm a Gen Xer and right on the border of the two, and I'm finding that they think totally different. You know, when you start studying millennials, it's very interesting because we start seeing this diabolical plot starting to unfold when people don't even realize it's happening. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. What they have found is that millennials are so entangled with technology. We call it the phone. It's amazing when they've done studies with the telephone. They start recognizing that millennials are overwhelmed and literally consumed with conversating with the cell phone and technology. So much so that, listen, 65% do not feel comfortable with a face-to-face conversation. 65%. That means the majority of our millennial young men and women struggle with conversating face-to-face And the reason for that is not because they're bad people, not because they've done anything wrong, but because they were brought into the process of the technological era that we live. And it's amazing how they live on Snapchat. They live with texting. Most conversations are text messages. Most conversations are done with Snapchat. That's about as close to face-to-face as they're getting. And there needs to be a transformation. This is a diabolical plot from Lucifer to disconnect people from loving other people. They can't touch them, therefore they're safe. We have a whole generation that is struggling. Now listen, I'm not painting the paintbrush real wide. So if that's not you, don't get offended. But if it is you, put your shoes on. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We've now stepped into another generation called the Z generation. They're born 1995 to 2010. The Z generation is amazing because they live on iPads. My granddaughter, she was not even a year old, took my wife's phone that had a password. Now listen, the password was simple. She figured it out. She had watched her grandmother put it in, and she opened my wife's cell phone and deleted a bunch of stuff. She wasn't even one. How many Generation Zs do we see walking around with an iPad? You always notice them, they got earbuds in. It's a different generation, but what's happening is we're seeing this disconnect occur. YouTube is their greatest friend with the generational Z. You know, YouTube is their life. They do everything on YouTube. Their communication is still not face-to-face, although we find through studies that now they're a little bit more option to have a face-to-face than a millennial generation. So we're watching something occur, this diabolical disconnect, where we're no longer communicating face-to-face. We're no longer sharing feelings and emotions. We're no longer going out to play. We're grabbing on the PS4, PS5, PS27, I don't know which one it is yet. And now everything is electronic and not personal, not interpersonal, not face-to-face, not normal communication. Listen, it's not their fault. If you're in the room, it's not your fault. But we've got to change some things because whether you recognize it or not, it is a diabolical plot to make sure that you don't share the gospel. The end time harvest cannot come without people sharing the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that gospel is shared. Blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. There's a time to recognize that you and I are extremely important to the end time plan of heaven. Without you and I, people will not hear. Without you and I, people will not be saved. We cannot drain hell if people aren't sharing the gospel. Oh, all two of you said amen, and I thank you for it. Oh, but pastor, those young people, they just, listen, you're just as bad as they are. Us older folk, we used to know all our neighbors, didn't we? Now we don't care about our neighbors, just as long as they don't step over our fence. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You know, even in church, it's the same thing. This diabolical disconnect has happened in the body of Christ. All of a sudden now, most people come into church, they leave. They shake maybe two or three hands during the meet and greet, which is about, in this service, about a minute and 30 seconds. They don't know anybody's name. They don't get to befriend anybody. They've never joined a group. They've never joined a group. They didn't join a group, so they're not having interpersonal relationships even at church any longer. It's amazing when you really start looking at how this has all just culminated without anybody sitting back and going, wow, you know, the devil, he's just so brazen. He's not. He's sneaky and he's smart. He's that angel of light that comes in. And what ends up happening is now all of a sudden, most people don't know anybody. They come to church, they don't know anybody. When they're in trouble, they don't know anybody but their own little circle of friends that they had when they were in the world. And then they run back to the people of the world and say, hey, can you help me? And they sure will. They'll give you a Budweiser real quick. Yeah. This cannot continue to occur. We've got to stop the process. We've got to break the disconnect. Can I hear an amen? We've got to regenerate God's plan for our lives as the body of Christ, for we are the only army that God has. He does not have a plan B to see salvation happening under our region and the people that are around us. We are God's only plan, and God is raising us up to do mighty, mighty exploits, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. That's who you and I are. Man, we've just watched the world. You know, in Europe, they just passed a law over, it was Article 9, I think, and now the sanctity of children no longer is in that country. There was an Amber Alert. Did anybody get that the other day? We were up in Rochester visiting Mike Taylor. If he's watching in this service, Mike, I love you. And come home. I think he's coming home on Tuesday. But here we are. You know, an Amber Alert, come on. Do you know that Amber Alert, that a woman got killed, I guess she was buried, 18 years old. And the baby, they still haven't found. Do you know most of us, it didn't even move us? Oh, Amber Alert. Huh. Disturbed my moment. We've come to the place where our hearts have become so callous in loving other people that now it's just about life, and it's not any life, it's just living our life. We've got our family, and thank God for family. Can I hear an amen? I love family. But you see, you're not just here to see your family go to heaven. You're here to see the people around you go to heaven. God's got you as a messenger to do more than just save your family. Listen, if the ark was big enough to house so many people, but because people didn't respond to God with rebellion, Noah only got his eight on there. Can I hear an amen? With a bunch of animals. This time for you and I to fill the ark with people. People that you like, people that you don't like, people that are nice to you, people that are mean to you. Listen, without Jesus Christ, they're not going to heaven. Without Jesus as their Savior, they're not going to crest Christ beckon until they see him face to face at the white throne judgment when he casts them down because their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. There's a reality within us. You see, most of us don't believe that Jesus is the only way. We have our own concepts. Well, they're a nice person. They're kind. They don't hurt anybody. But that's not the truth. There's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. Unless you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you cannot be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way to go to heaven but through Jesus Christ, but the church. I don't know if we all believe that. Because if we actually believe that, then we act different. You know, we were down in Florida this last winter, and we had just come from this great restaurant. We went down, what's that? Oh, it's Peach Valley. Listen, if you're down in Ormond Beach, you want to go to Peach Valley. Great, great breakfast restaurant. So we're at Peach Valley. You know, we rode our Harleys there, and so we're there. We ate our breakfast, and I'm going to tell you something. I sinned. I just want you to know that I sinned, and I asked God to forgive me for the sin of gluttony, and I ate really big. But there's something after that that is more stimulating to me, and when you look across from Sun Valley, you see a sign that says Donnie's Donuts. They say, you don't know nothing about me. I love donuts. God is going to have donuts in heaven. There's no question. And you won't even get chunky while you eat them. Glory to God. That glorified body can take all the Donnie's Donuts you can make. So I had my breakfast, man, and I'm excited, you know, and so we're walking across. You got to walk around across two lanes, and they're pretty busy, and we cross one. We're standing in the middle getting ready to cross into the next one, and I stuck my foot out. Listen, I had my eye on the prize, Donnie's Donuts. I can already taste. You know, it's not, I don't get the nasty, you know, all the junk stuff. My wife gets all that pina colada donut thing. I want the plain donut with the sugar on it. Because when you eat a Donnie's Donuts, there's no, like, fatty taste on the top of your mouth when you're done. So you can eat 26 of them and feel God. Dunk them in coffee. So So here we are, man. I got my eyes on the prize. We're halfway through. And I just go out to step out. My wife goes, stop. And I pulled my foot back and a car went zoom. If I had stepped out, I wouldn't be preaching here today. And I wouldn't have got a Donnie's Donuts. And you could understand that's serious. But what's amazing is my wife stopped me because she loves me. Now listen, if I got hit by a car and I died, she had a really good insurance policy. What encouraged me was she loved me more than the money. She loved me more than the insurance policies that she would have gotten. Glory to God, that's love. But some of us love our stuff far more than we love the people that are getting ready to step into eternity that don't know Jesus. And this is the shift that has to happen. Because this diabolical disconnection is the disconnection of love. The word of God is so powerful and so clear. God is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which means the personality of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. The awesome part is that when you were not serving Jesus, you served your father, the devil, according to Ephesians chapter 2. But the moment you confess Jesus as your personal Savior, now you are a son of God. Now you are a daughter of God. Now you have divine nature, according to Peter, which declares that divine nature is God's character, God's nature, God's personality dwelling inside of you because you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the great part is that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Amen. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I wanted to start with the first one, but you got to say the whole verse. Love. They will know that you are my children because you love. Oh, come on, man. You do know this, right? 1 Corinthians 13 was not written for weddings. Everybody okay with that? I mean, we read them at all the weddings. But 1 Corinthians 13 was not created for a wedding. It's created as describing to us the very character and nature of our daddy's love for us. For God so. Oh, I can't hear you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The reality is this, is that God's love is what saved us from our sin. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Jesus loves us so much. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. The truth is this, that God loves us so much. He loves us in our mess. Come on. He loves us in our mess. He loves us no matter what condition we're in. And that nature is in us. You see, anything that we do outside of love, the Bible says, is a clanging cymbal. You can give all you want to the poor, but without love, it means nothing. You can be the nicest person in the world, but without doing it in God's love, it means nothing. So here we have, really, let's be honest, majority of believers really don't love people. Because if somebody's next to you that doesn't know Jesus and you don't tell them, you're letting them get hit by the car. The car. And the problem with that is once somebody dies, they don't get a second shot. You know, I've given this example before, but I love it. There was a man getting, he was condemned to be executed in England. And before execution, they would always send in a priest or minister to serve last rites or give last whatever for the condemned individual. And so in walks a preacher, and the preacher looks at the man and says, "Sir," you hear that? "Sir, in just a moment of time, thou shalt step across the thresholds of eternity. Without Christ, thou shalt be lost." And the condemned inmate looked at him and said, "Sir, you're a liar. Get out of my cell." He said, "If you actually believe that a person would go to hell without Jesus, you would crawl across England on your hands and knees over glass to save one." What's amazing is most of us will not cross, oh, that's right, will not speak a word to somebody who already knows you. That's not a gospel disconnect. That's a love disconnect. When we don't love somebody, we don't help somebody. You know, you've heard me say before, the person you hate the most is the one you won't share the gospel with. Because if we actually honestly believe that without Jesus, they're lost for all of eternity, then we've got to say something. We've got to be compelled to say something. We've got to be driven to say something. Because if we don't say something, if they take their last, listen now, how many of you know somebody that died young? Nobody would ever have thought they would have been in eternity right now. We all know somebody that died either as a child or middle age or as a teenager, man, in their young youthful age. We all know somebody that's passed away. Did they know Christ? See, this diabolical disconnect is so methodically driven that even the body of Christ has drank the Kool-Aid. And we honestly love ourselves more than anybody else. We love our circle. We love our peoples. But we very rarely will cross over and share the gospel with anybody. I have a litmus test for you. Is that all right? Here it is. If you've not shared your faith with one person in the year 2018, then you don't love people. You love some people. But you don't love people. That's judgmental, Pastor. How could you say that? That's so harsh. Listen, we're almost halfway through the year. If you haven't shared the gospel with somebody, if you haven't looked at somebody that you know is not born again, that if they take their last breath, they're not going to see Jesus face to face. If you've seen them day after day and month after month, and man, all this culmination of time has gone on, and yet even in half a year in 2018, you've not mustered the love to say something, then you're going to let them get hit by the car. Man, there's got to be a shift in us. Can I hear an amen? You see, I believe, and I can only speak for where I'm called to, and that is I believe we've got to have a fresh baptism of love. I believe that we've got to, again, not only sense in our personal lives that overwhelming, uncompromising love that Jesus Christ has for us. Man, some of us just need a hug from God. Some of us need healing in our own heart. Some of us need God to embrace us. Man, we used to have that embrace, and we've walked away. We've traded it for the things of the world. We've got to get back to the gospel. We've got to get back to our knees. We've got to get back to Jesus and say, "God, I need you to overwhelm me with your love. Lord, I want to sense that passion you have for me like I did before. God, I need that experience that only you can give me, that no man can muster or provide, only Jesus." See, when you get that love, man, you automatically share it. Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. When you got saved, no one could shut you up. They say, "What's wrong with you? Got religion? What happened to you? Man, what are you, a religious freak? Yes, I am, because I met the one on the road to my Damascus that transformed my life. He brought newness into me. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I now know that I'm loved with an everlasting love, and God is on my side. Listen, you can't fail when you got a hold of Jesus. But what's happened is a lot of us just got a loose hold, and that's why we don't love people anymore. We just got enough to get us to heaven. And that's not God's plan. When was the last time you were moved outside of your family? You saw somebody, you saw something that moved you, broke your heart. And outside of your comfort zone, you had to do something. You really didn't have a choice. You were compelled to do something. Compelled. Had someone come to my office just recently, and I mean, I don't really know them. They've come to the church for a bit and on and off, and they came to my office. They were really in emotional bad shape and were financially struggling, and they were just sharing their situation, and I was moved. I mean, I was really moved for them. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, give him that $100 that's in your pocket. And I told him, no, it's my $100. He said, give him that $100. They need that $100. And so I reached my hand in my pocket, and on the way out, I just gave him that old Pentecostal handshake. And if you don't know what that is, you put the money right here and you shake their hand and they feel it in the middle and they go. And he went, oh, is that for me? I said, yeah, man. Just want you to know I love you. You can tell somebody you love them all you want. But for God so loved the world that he gave. I don't know. Can you sense the presence of Jesus here? I just sense the presence of God. See, I believe that God is shifting some of us. I think he's just shifting some of us. It's not that he's mad. It's not that he's angry. But man, this diabolical disconnect plan that Lucifer has and that he's working in people's lives, I just refuse to be part of that. I want to feel for people, even people that don't like me. And you know, I have a lot of people that don't like me. I'm a really nice guy. I still haven't figured that part out. I mean, I don't know why they don't like me. I'm a nice guy. But I had people say just horrific stuff, and you know, and I'll step out of my way. My wife and I will step out of the way. It's really fun at the mall, by the way, when you get somebody who leaves the church, they're really nasty to you. And you, when you see them at the mall, instead of hiding in a store, you go after them. They look at you like, hope they don't know what I just said. Oh, we do. But true love isn't loving people that love you. True love is loving people that don't love you. Love people that despitefully use you and wound you. You see, true love, God's love that's inside of you because you're born again, is the love that's going to take somebody out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Do you love people? Or have you become part of the diabolical disconnection from loving people? See, I just believe that everybody in this room, there's somebody that God's going to place on your heart. Oh, I just sensed that in my spirit. That God's going to place somebody on your heart even right now. That you can see their face in the picture of your mind. And God is telling you, I want you to share my gospel with them. Some of you, it's going to be your friend. Some of you, it's going to be somebody at work that you've never really talked to. Somebody, it's going to be somebody you see their face and you don't even know who they are. But you're going to be walking through Walmart. Well, maybe Target or Target. And you're going to see them, and you already know that you have to share the gospel with them. See, I believe that everybody in this room can lead one person to Jesus in 1 year if we really love people. You know, you can love yourself all you want, but until you love people, you really don't get life fulfilled. Life is fulfilled when you start loving other people. Now, you know you were late to church this morning if you didn't see me out at the parking lot. I have so enjoyed. I've been going out to the parking lot every Sunday morning. I think it's my second or third Sunday morning. I'm having a blast. I'm standing out there. You know, these guys, you know, that wave at you, you know, when you come down the driveway, they actually have a hole that they've actually worn out. And so I'm trying on mine now. I'm working on my hole like this. This morning with my umbrella over my head, I'm waving at people that are coming down and smiling at them. Why? Well, because you're the best. No, I love people. I just love to see your face when you see somebody smile at you. We live a life of not a lot of smiles, not a lot of laughter. And God, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you share, when you give, as you sow, you shall reap. I just want you to know I love being in the parking lot because I love you. Now, listen, I don't care how much I love you. I'm not doing it in a thunderstorm. It's just not going to happen. But I will be out there in the winter. I don't have to be. I love it. I love you too. I even like you. You know, that's big. Until we get back to really loving people, I don't know. Can we actually say we're the church? Or are we just a religious movement? Because anything that's driven outside of love is just a religious movement. Do you love people? Honestly, I just want you to ask yourself an honest question. Do I really genuinely love people? Or is it just about me surviving on this planet? You know, the sooner you figure that out, the sooner you start reaching toward your destiny. You see, many of us are looking for something to live for, but you never find life until you identify what to die for. Let that sit. Many of you are looking for something to live for. But until you find what to die for, you've never lived. And you know, I've chosen to die for my King. I haven't had to give my life. I've been punched and some other stuff, but threatened a lot. I get a lot of threats. It's just not nice. But you know, I haven't had to die for him. And I know the Holy Spirit would give me the strength if it came to that. But in my heart, I've made up the decision that he's worth dying for. And so are you. What are you worth dying for? What do you love so much that you're willing to die for? See, when we know this, our life shifts and we stop living for ourselves and we start living for other people. And when you start living for other people, that's when you actually get satisfaction. Father, I just thank you so much that you love us. God, we can't even fathom the love you have for us. Oh, I just sense the presence of God. Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus, in Ithaca and in Horseheads, that the room that we are in will literally start filling with the presence of your love. Father, until we truly experience your love, then all we have is religion. Jesus, can you do something for us? Can you deposit a fresh love for people that we have never had before? God, this is not a natural love. Lord, this is your love that you already have in us because, Holy Spirit, you dwell. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll stir within us a genuine love for people again. A genuine love for people again. That we will genuinely look at them and see them and desire to share the gospel. Desire to be helpful. Desire to be a builder of people. God, that will break the bondage of being so self-absorbed that nothing else matters but ours and our own little kind. that God will start seeing the way you see. God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that He loves you with an uncompromising love. You'll never be good enough for God. That is the greatest story you should ever hear. You can never earn your way to heaven. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want to introduce to you the very best friend. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never walk away from you. I'll always be there. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Jesus, He just loves you. That's why He gave His all for you. Today, if you do not know Christ and you want Christ in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to this Savior. His name is Jesus. I'm not going to wait real long. Is there anyone this morning that needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Five. Come on, get your hand up. Four. Three. Thank you. I love you, honey. Very proud of you. Two. Come on, last call. Don't you wait. Don't you let this moment. Today is the day of salvation. Last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I just thank you so much for this congregation. Lord, they're a phenomenal people, a people that love you, a people, God, that are in the house because, Lord Jesus, they want to serve you and please you. I pray in your name that a supernatural deposit of love will be generated within them, that as we start looking around, even today and tomorrow, that, God, our eyes will see differently. Let us see, Jesus, even a glimpse of how you see other people. Move us, God. Move us, God. Lord, let us lead at least one soul to you this week. God, let us plant, let us water, let us harvest at least one person this week. And Jesus, I thank you, whether it be our mothers, maybe of our fathers, God, maybe it be our sisters or brothers, maybe it be our cousins and our aunts and our uncles. God, might be a stranger that's at the park when we're there. Lord, wherever you would lead us, we will go because, Jesus, we see and feel the love that you have for them. Forgive us, God, for being so self-absorbed that we are all that seems to matter. And Lord, overwhelm us with loving people. Lord, we break the diabolical disconnect in the name of Jesus in our lives right now. And we choose to be vessels where you can pour your love out of us any way you desire. If you were in Ithaca and you raised your hand for salvation, I want you to see Pastor Chad. Young lady, I'm going to ask you to be very brave. I'm going to ask you to grab your mama. I'm going to ask you to come right up here, meet us right up here with Mindy. Mama, right there. Yeah, she raised her hand. Yeah, your baby girl. Bring her on up here. Isn't that exciting? Mama's more excited than the daughter. Glory to God. Last week, six people gave their hearts to Jesus on Sunday morning, and one rededicated their life. Listen now, the angels shout when that happens. Amen. This young lady is going to give her heart to Jesus. Can you outshout the angels for this morning? The prayer team's coming around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, they're here for you. They'll lay hands and God will heal you. God will deliver you. God will minister to you. God will love you. Listen, they're here to bless you. We love you. Have an awesome week with your family. Make sure you share the gospel and bring change to other people's lives.